Welcome to Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans, a ministry dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, inspiring, educating, and equipping believers to care for vulnerable children, and supporting those who have heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Here's your host, Sandra Flack.
This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Oh, those are some of my favorite verses of scripture from 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. I am your host, Sandra Flack. Thank you for joining us for episode 241 of Orphans No More. Last week, my guest was Jeff Noble, an expert on fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. If you missed that episode and you are a foster or adoptive parent, you will want to go back and listen. Jeff is also the host of the FASD Success podcast. I highly recommend that podcast if you are parenting a child with FASD. I've been listening and it's really helped encourage me, and I'm learning so much about FASD and my kids, and it just really is an excellent resource, so I highly recommend you go check that out. And one of the things I learned from Jeff is the importance of respite. I'm starting to realize that respite is actually a form of self-care, right? My kids have been home, you know, we adopted them over 10 years ago. I never really thought that I needed respite, and it's really only been since this whole COVID crisis that it's ramped up the behaviors in my kids and me too, I confess. I was that person this morning, that parent who beeped the horn in the school drop-off line. Insane stuff going on in our school district that's affecting my kiddos with the whole back to school plan. And I'm not even going to go there because that's an entirely different episode of that would be an entire episode in itself. So, but for the past 7 months with my kids being home, the ramped up anxiety of returning to a very different school environment. On the heels of that, last week, just last week alone, battling with the school district over transportation for one of my kids, we hosted our virtual event. Fundraising season is always busy, crazy, but it was a virtual event, something else that, you know, we had to do because of COVID. There were major glitches during the live event, so that was extremely stressful. My dad has Alzheimer's. He's in assisted living. He was having some issues. So you know what? I needed some respite. You know, I needed to put myself in a timeout or a time in, or, you know, I needed to focus on some soul care, extended time of self-care. So I went away to an amazing Airbnb, only about 45 minutes from where I live. So I didn't go far. I went by myself. My wonderful husband knew I needed the break. He held down the fort for the weekend with the kiddos. And as I hunkered down with lots of good coffee and hammered out the rest of my book edits, I did something just for me, all by myself in silence, which was just what I needed. I've never done that before, but I needed it. So I highly recommend respite, whether it's 15 minutes, 5 minutes, you know, a cup of coffee quiet somewhere, or 2 days away like I did, just do it. I also want to let you know that I love hearing from you. So reach out, let us know. What have you been doing for respite or self-care during this crazy season? You know, contact us via our social media at Justice for Orphans, our website, justicefororphansny.org. You can email me directly, sandraflackjfo@gmail.com. If you missed our There's No Place Like Home virtual event, it's not too late for you to check it out. The 90-minute fun and inspiring event features testimonies from foster and adoptive parents. There's some adorable kids and some, like, really, you know, cool too for too cool for school. Teens, almost teens, preteens that were in one segment. We had some Christian comedians and a glimpse into the work of Justice for Orphans and Care Portal. So find it on our website. Again, that's justicefororphansny.org. It's also on our YouTube channel and our Facebook page. So check it out. You'll be inspired. So this week, I'm thrilled to be talking with foster mom and Care Portal Area Director in Florida, Danielle Wright. Hi, Danielle.
Hi, how are you doing?
I am doing great. I am here in upstate New York and you're down there in sunny Florida. Is it hot down there, raining down there? What's going on down there?
Well, we've just come out of, I think, 2 weeks of monsoon and tropical storms and everything. So this week we're enjoying some high 70s for a cool off. I know that's probably warm to other people, but we're usually running around 90, so this feels really nice.
Yeah. Well, I'm usually envious of the weather in Florida because up here in New York, it's always too cold for me. I think I was supposed to be living somewhere south, but we're having 70s, mid to upper 70s and some sun, so we're hanging on to that before winter sets in because we know what that's like up here.
No, we come up there to visit that and then come home.
Yeah. So I am excited to talk about what's going on down there in Florida with Care Portal. But before we get to all of that, tell us about your foster care experience. I know you and your husband, Chris, are parents to three biological girls, right? They're, right. Let me see if I get the ages right. 14, 13, and 7. Did
right.
I do that? They're awesome.
Yeah, you got that right.
Yeah. So you have a full house with those kiddos. What led you to become a foster parent?
You know, I think both of us grew up kind of tough, especially my husband as far as his experience. You know, he really had his mom around, but he really could have been a foster kid himself. And so I think when you grow up that way and you never arrive, but you find yourself in a place where you're able to touch other people's lives in a positive way. You just kind of start thinking that direction. And so we knew that we wanted to adopt or something in that realm, but really had no idea what that meant. In a ministry that we were involved in, we touched base with a family that were foster parents. We really had no idea what that even was. So they allowed us to come over and just kind of witness a night in their house and with their children. And it was really wonderful. So we decided to go to an informational session. And here in Florida at the time, the informational session was for foster and adoptive care together. So we went to that session just open-minded. And the gentleman that was speaking was a guest speaker that night. I think God had him there just for us. And he said, if you're in this for yourselves and your family, that's okay, but go the route of adoption. He said, but if you're in this just for children, then foster.
That is an amazing statement. If you're in it for yourself, adopt. If you're in it for the kids, foster. How did that impact you?
It felt like a knife to the gut, yeah. If I'm being honest. We just thought, okay, God, we hear you. I'm not sure if anybody else even heard him say the same thing, because when looking back on it, it almost sounds offensive, but it just must have been what God had for us to hear, because we heard it loud and clear. So we decided to go the route of fostering with an open mind that if adoption ever came through that process, you know, we were absolutely 100% on board for that as well. But we understood the mission of fostering and really felt like we could maintain both of those.
Wow. So you went the route of fostering. How many years have you, because you're still fostering, how many years have you been fostering?
We've been fostering 6.5 years now. So quite a long time.
Yeah. And well, in foster care years, that is a long time, actually.
It is. I think they say most people last about a year. I think that's the norm. So yeah. We've beaten the norm.
Wow. I guess. And then some. So how many children have you fostered during that time?
Well, we at one point were trying to keep track, and we got somewhere at 30, and then we just started saying, oh, somewhere over 30, because we stopped being able to keep track.
Wow, that's a lot of children coming in and going home. Did you ever adopt?
We did. So we have a little son. His name is Charles. And in fact, it was really unique because in the process, I think they try to vet out people who can't maintain, you know, the goal of foster care is getting these kiddos home to their family. And that sounds really good on the front side, but when you're in the middle of a case and you have this child in your home and you've fallen in love with them, and maybe you're not seeing the best results with a family member, and you start to get in a bad space mentally, if you allow yourself, and you start to feel very protective over that child, naturally, all those are natural feelings, but you have to be able to kind of balance that. And so, I think they try to vet that out ahead of time by letting you know there's no babies in foster care. There are no babies who need homes. None of them are ever available for adoption. You know, they just kind of tell you all the no's, check all the boxes. And coincidentally, our first placement was a baby fresh from the NICU, a little 4-pound guy, and he never left. So that was our adoption, was our very first placement.
Wow, your very first placement. That is amazing. And so he came as a baby, he stayed. What did you learn from that overall experience?
Mm-hmm. It was really tough. I won't lie. There was a lot of ups and a lot of downs. Kind of felt like a very scary roller coaster. I felt very thankful that I had God through the process, because short of, you know, him on the days when I'm on the floor crying and just crying out to God on my knees, I don't know what else you would have left to cling to in that situation other than just your faith and trust in God to take the next step, whatever that is. And I found that was just the best thing that I had going for me in that scenario. But we learned a lot in that process, and just the brokenness of the story as a whole, and involving ourselves in a way that their family touched our lives as much as we were touching that family. They were touching our lives as well, and changing our perspectives and begging us to ask questions of our own thought processes towards things. And you know, in the process of ministering them, just hearing the stories of their life were heartbreaking. And so, you know, you think you're going to arrive one day at this place in court, and this child's going to be yours, and it's going to be a celebration. And, you know, it is all of that. But at the same time, that celebration is coming at the expense of someone else's just heartache, really heartbreak. We sat in the courtroom on our adoption day and just, you know, listened to his father give up his rights and cry tears through that process. And we're sitting in the courtroom crying tears right along with him, because he's broken. This is a broken situation. And, you know, yes, we are very blessed to end up with our son. but it didn't come at no expense. There was a cost for sure.
Yeah, there always is. And you are still fostering. So do you have kids in your home now?
Yes. Yeah, we have a little girl now. She's 7 months old, and we've had her since she was 4 pounds and fresh from the NICU also. I think her story is going to end a little differently, we hope. She has several family members, and, you know, her family has welcomed our family. We did 4th of July barbecue together. We, you know, danced in the backyard and played football with the kids. Just, you know, it was like a normal family gathering. It felt so good to feel like, you know, not only are we kind of accepting them and helping to change their life, but they're accepting us in. And it don't feel like once she goes home that will be an end to the relationship. I just really feel that we're going to keep being a part of their life. And it's such an amazing story God's birthing out of it, for sure.
Yeah, I love that, because so often we hear, you know, when people are considering becoming foster parents, or maybe that's the thing that sort of gets them to say, no, that's not for me, because, you know, I wouldn't be able to give the child back. And then there's just this skewed view of the biological parents, you know, that they're sort of the enemy, they're the bad guy. And, you know, I can't get attached to a baby or a child and then send them back there. But really, Danielle, your whole, everything that you've just described is exactly really how it should work, because there's redemption on both sides.
Right. And, you know, just to speak to that, we've heard those comments a million times, you know, yeah. You must be an angel. I could never, and all the things. And, you know, God saved us when we were just in the pits of our despair. And so the fact that we feel like we can't do that for someone else, I would call a question to your faith. Yeah. In that scenario, really, because you can step in and you can do that. And you know what? You will cry. You will sob when a child leaves. But can God not be then God in your life to reconcile that in your heart and to help you heal? Yes. And what a difference was made through that process. It's worth it.
Yeah. 100%. I love that. I love your perspective on that. And ministry really is not just to the child, but to that biological family, that parent who really needs somebody to come alongside of them because they're broken people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think they, that mindset of not being able to work with them. I mean, obviously we always take things slow in the beginning. We do the visitation at the local office and, you know, we start out with a small bit of trust and then we build upon that, but we try to build upon that as fast as we can, because in that process, they're also learning to trust us. So we've had a lot of people say, oh, well, I had, you know, this biological parent do this to me, or, you know, they have a lot of really bad stories. And I have to tell you, Sandra, that's not our experience. We have yet to ever have a biological parent. Not that that will never happen, but we've had no experience with that because we've built such a relationship with them of trust that if something's going on, they're not calling in an abuse report. They're calling us and saying, hey, I noticed this, what happened? And they have trust that what we say is the truth because we've interacted with them on so many occasions and gone so far to try to earn that trust. So I don't know if that's the answer to that scenario, but I feel like it's been an answer for us.
I love that because, you know, that is the point of foster care, right? Is to reunify the child with the parent, you know, when there's stability, family preservation, you know, those things are what we really want to see. And I know Care Portal plays a role in that. So I want to get to Care Portal here a little bit because you're a busy mama. We just heard you talk about all that. You've got four kiddos in your home and you know, you wear a lot of hats like so many of us do. And you are one of three area directors for Care Portal in Florida. Happens to be a pretty big state. How did you learn about Care Portal and get involved, join the team?
Right. Yeah. You know, I had a friend reach out to me and coincidentally, a friend from my son that is adopted from his case. He had a guardian ad litem who was just fantastic. And we got to know him a lot through the process, build a relationship. And Care Portal came across his path and the area director role also. And he immediately, for whatever reason, sent that to me. Now in hindsight, I feel like I have been Care Portal just on a minute, very minute scale, you know, building those bridges and those relationships has always been something that was very important to me, working with the case managers and the management and then other foster parents, the churches. My husband and I have been youth pastors. So the whole connecting piece between those two felt really natural. And when I read about the position, I thought, well, of course.
Kathy, so, sign me up, right?
Yeah, sign me up. So I interviewed, you know, scared to death, to be honest with you. We've run several businesses ourselves, kind of entrepreneur, but, you know, just walking back into that corporate world after all those years was a little bit intimidating, but I feel like Care Portal really just seeks out people who have the heartbeat. It's not necessarily, you know, that the resume is point in case of every other person who's worked in the corporate world. It's, hey, wait, who has the heartbeat of this already? And I love that about them as a company.
Yeah. And so many of us our foster and adoptive parents. Like, we have already been, you know, walking this journey and have a heart for kids. And, you know, then God opens this door. That's, you know, that's kind of how it happened for me to get involved with Care Portal. Our ministry was looking for a way to be, you know, boots on the ground, hands-on impact in our own community. And we learned about Care Portal and we knew that this is it. So before we get to, you know, I want to just touch on, because we mentioned Florida, what is the foster care system or the foster care situation like in Florida?
Mm-hmm. Well, several years back, Florida decided to move to a privatized model of care. So every different circuit, you know, maybe several counties together, all have individual CDCs, so individual agencies that handle all the cases in that particular area. That model was proving to be extremely successful. And then, unfortunately, around 2014 timeframe, we really got hit very hard with the heroin epidemic. Fentanyl was being mixed in with the heroin. And in fact, in our area, carfentanil, which I believe is an elephant tranquilizer, if I heard it right, was mixed in with the heroin here. And our county specifically was kind of the epicenter of the country for that. And so it hit our area very hard. It hit Florida very hard. We've since started to come out of that, and we're trying to recover the numbers. And I mean, when you talk about numbers, it's numbers, but it's children. These are children we're talking about. They're not a number on a piece of paper. The amount of children that were affected and lost their parents because there was just no way, there wasn't enough Narcan to bring the parents back. So many were deeply affected, and we're starting to get to a place of recovery with that, but it was really tough. And Care Portal is just a godsend. It's kind of been everyone's comment when I'm speaking with them about Care Portal was, oh my gosh, we have all the people here, but we needed this connection tool. Like, we have been needing this. So it's an overwhelming positive response.
Oh, I love that. So for our listeners who might not know what Care Portal is, it is a technology platform that connects child welfare agencies with churches. It's essentially a tool for churches to use to be able to minister to children and families in crisis right in their own communities. And it's super simple. Caseworkers working with children and families identify needs. One of the biggest needs is oftentimes a bed, a twin bed, a crib, a car seat, that kind of thing. The caseworker will enter a request for those items into the technology platform, and it goes out as an email to the local participating churches who are partnering with Care Portal. And churches open the email, decide if they want to help. And if they do, they get connected with the caseworker. And then the church gets to go meet that family's need. And, you know, oftentimes we see an amazing connection where the church begins to really be able to wrap around that family. Here in New York, we implemented Care Portal 2 years ago. It's only in 3 counties so far. We're working to grow that. And I have the numbers fresh off the press here this morning. In those 3 counties so far, 1,347 children have been served by around about 40 churches. And the economic impact is over $400,000 here in New York. And I just want to let our listeners know, you can watch a video and learn more about just a video clip, a short video clip, and learn more about Care Portal at the Care Portal website, careportal.org. We just produced, Justice for Orphans just produced, a 5-minute video featuring the local impact Care Portal has had here in the capital region of upstate New York. That video is on our website, justicefororphansny.org. Just click on our Care Portal tab. Now, Danielle, Care Portal's only been active in Florida for, is it just been a few months now so far?
We had some original momentum into Florida a couple years ago. So there's been small implementation, but nothing like we're seeing just within the last 2 months. So in the last 2 months, it's like Care Portal is here. Let's go. Yeah. You know, prior we had a couple of people who caught the vision and said, hey, we want to implement, but not, you know, really wasn't growing as much as now we're just seeing this massive growth. So just in that little bit of time and with that little bit of work, there's already been 851 children served. There's about 46 active churches right now in Florida. And then the economic impact has been 362,000. So I mean, I think it's going well for just getting started, but I'm looking forward to seeing so much more.
Wow, that's incredible. So it's almost like in two months, you've done almost what we've done here in New York in 2 years. So that is just so amazing. So you guys are going for it. I love that. What is something that you love? If you could pick one thing about Care Portal that you love, what would it be?
I think I just love how it brings everybody together. I love that unifying piece about it. I think my own life, I love that as a story. I love being able to take things that don't necessarily work, put them together, and just watch what God does. And I feel like that's Care Portal. It's that piece that brings everything together. And so you can just see the power of God moving through it. I love that.
So it's bringing the government agencies, the churches together. Really?
And the people.
Yeah.
People who wouldn't normally even work together, even other churches, right? Traditionally, I don't think churches are known for always working together well. And it's even doing that. It's just so crazy.
Yeah. We've seen that here in New York. It's my own church is a Care Portal church, but we're about 30 minutes outside of, like, you know, the urban core area of say the city of Albany, the capital, where a majority of the requests are, you know, that's where the families are. And, you know, we're happy to be able to provide beds and things, but we really, you know, we want a church closer to that family to be able to wrap around them. And we have a few churches that are pretty close to that community. So, you know, when our church meets a need, we reach out to the other churches that are closer to the family, and we say, you know, we got the stuff, but if you can send a couple people from your church to pray with this family and to connect with this family, let's do this together. And it's just beautiful every time it happens.
Love it. I love it.
You love it too. So do you have a story that you can share, a Care Portal story? I know it's early on, but is there something that you can share? We love stories.
Well, there's been a few really good ones, but I think in my time, I just like to champion the church that I really have connected with, an Oasis Church here in Bradenton, Florida. They've already had the heartbeat of foster care. They already had multiple foster families in their church, and they were already supporting those foster families just, you know, through Facebook and things, and it just gets really confusing. And they heard about Care Portal and just decided, we're going to champion this. They added it into their public webpage. They, you know, started promoting different needs, and they found out that there was actually a foster family within the church, and it was a single mom, and she had heard about these teenagers being removed, and so she decided that she would take them all in. She took in four teenagers and one that wasn't quite a teen, brought them into her home, and, you know, she had a great home and all the things, but four teenagers eat a lot of food. And so it was just becoming an issue with going to the grocery store every day, but they couldn't be left alone. And so now everybody has to go, or I have to have a babysitter because there's just not enough room to store all the food that they eat. So Oasis found out about that, and it seems so silly or so simple, but they put it out to the congregation. They had somebody just raise their hand and say, I have got that. And the fridge and the freezer were delivered to that family, and that has just made a world of difference to them. So, you know, the mom sent in a picture with all the kids around the fridge, and the church really got to, like, celebrate and get excited. So they're just really looking forward to doing more, and that was a great first try.
Yeah, I mean, what a brave foster mom, a single mom, and taking in four teenagers plus a preteen, it sounds like. That's huge. And if the church can wrap around her, she can be successful and be able to continue to have those kids in her home and make a difference in their lives. So I love that. It's coming together, community, right? That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
So I love that story. Thank you for sharing that. As we begin to wrap up, Danielle, is there anything else on your heart that you would really like our listeners to hear? What would you want their takeaway to be from our conversation today?
I think one of the biggest things I've always heard is sometimes when you get an opportunity to speak, the things that God's feeding to you feed other people. And right now, my husband and I are working through the book from Jason Johnson called Reframing Foster Care. And to be honest with you, we've been doing this this foster care journey all this time, not realizing necessarily that there were all these like spiritual, there's obviously the spiritual things involved, but somehow we just kind of were removed from the fact that in this whole process, God has been fixing things in us and doing things in us and allowing these children to affect and to change us at the same time that we're affecting change for them. And I think that working through that book has been such a big eye-opener, because it's been putting words to things that we've been feeling and just didn't know how to verbalize, or didn't know that other people walking through the same thing felt as well. And so just kind of that mindset of, you think you're going into somebody else's like mess, really. You think you're going in and you're helping them, but you don't realize in that process that God's using that mess to fix things in you that you maybe didn't even realize were there anymore. You thought, oh, I've got this, I've arrived. And you know, you just realize like, no, I need Jesus just as much every single day. And I have really appreciated that process in reading that book and working through all that, and just putting those words to the experience has been invaluable.
I love that. I haven't read Jason's book. He was a guest here on the show a few years ago. I'll have to get him back on. I'll have to get the book, read it, and have him back on so we can talk about it. I do remember, I think it was Dr. Karen Purvis who said, we cannot bring our kids to a level of healing that we ourselves have not been to. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, you want to know what's, you know, if you have any issues that need to be dealt with, you know, God kind of puts a finger on those things. Well, bring a foster child or a child with trauma that you adopted into your home, and they will find those buttons that need to be pushed, and you will know exactly what God wants to deal with you in your heart, right? So it is. It's not just us affecting change in their lives, but we're transformed in the process as well. We get mm-hmm. to grow. And I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. I love that.
For sure.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Danielle, for all that you're doing to serve children there in Florida, children and families in crisis. I know I'm just so excited to see, you know, all the impact had through Care Portal there. And thank you for being a foster parent and for being on the show today.
Oh, I really appreciate it. I always love talking about foster care and just encouraging other people to jump in. It's a wild ride, but it's a lot of fun, and just amazing testimonies come from it. So
it's worth it. You said that earlier, right?
100% worth it.
Well, thanks again for being on today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
And you can learn more about Care Portal by going to careportal.org. Get your church involved, no matter what state you live in. If Care Portal is in over 20 states nationwide, it's in parts of Canada, it's growing. We want to bring it to more states. In New York, it's in 3 counties in New York. We're looking to expand it into all the 11 counties in the capital region. So you can learn more at careportal.org. And again, if you would like to see, if you're more of a local listener to Justice for Orphans here in New York, you can go to our website, justicefororphansny.org, click on the Care Portal tab, and we just produced a new 5-minute video that features the local impact Care Portal has had in the capital region so far. And we've got child welfare director from one of our counties, a county caseworker, a pastor, a point person from one of the churches, some volunteers, and even a family that was impacted when the church showed up. So it kind of shows you the how-to, and it shows you the real-time impact here locally. So I hope that you will check that out. Thank you again for being with us today for episode 241 of Orphans No More. Remember, you can check out our There's No Place Like Home virtual event. We put a lot of time and a lot of effort into producing that 90-minute event. It's online on the Justice for Orphans YouTube channel. We've posted it on Facebook. It's on our website, justicefororphansny.org. And it's 90 minutes of entertainment for you. You get to see some, you know, foster and adoptive families, hear some stories. You get to hear some super funny comedians that are entertaining, as well as hear about the work of the organization. So, you know, if you want to watch it one Friday evening or Saturday night or Sunday after church with the family, it's fun and it's entertaining, and we would really appreciate it. We're excited to have you be part of our team. You listen. Many of you are faithful supporters. We are here to inspire you and encourage you along the journey. Pray how you, you know, would like to be involved or partner with us. If your church maybe would like to become a Care Portal church, or are you maybe interested in becoming a foster or adoptive parent, whatever it is, you know, pray, step out in faith. If you were inspired by today's show and Danielle was super inspiring, please subscribe and leave a review, and please share it with your friends and on your social media. We really, really appreciate that. And of course, again, we'd love to hear from you. We love hearing from you. Contact us, justicefororphansny.org. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at Justice for Orphans. And you can also contact me directly by email. My email address is sandraflack@gmail.com. And stay tuned to this podcast and our social media for news about the release of my book. I am so much closer after taking a weekend away. So you'll be getting some good details on that soon. Thank you again for listening. I pray that you have a blessed day. And we look forward to being here with you next time on Orphans No More.
Thank you for listening to Orphans No More, for sharing what you've heard and praying for vulnerable children everywhere. We hope you are inspired to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls you. For more information, visit justicefororphansny.org.